But if you close your eyes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the DOJ breaking the law in the name of Trump. Move on to what the fuck is going on with Venezuela, and follow all of that up with a bit of debunking that warrior dividend. But before we start, I want to let everyone know This Week Again, we'll be taking a break Christmas week. New episodes will air starting January 4th. And now, on with the show. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and all through the Trump regime, the minions were busy preparing distractions for the coming release of the Epstein files. Because just 30 days before both houses of Congress passed and Bubba's Butch signed into law the Epstein Files Transparency Act, which required the pedophile protecting princess running the DOJ to release all the files by December 19th, which explains why the Department of Jokers sent this deputy dumbass Todd Blanche to Fox Not a News Channel to provide excuses for why his boss, Pick Me Bondi, is breaking the law.
Meanwhile, today marks the deadline for the DOJ to make the Epstein files public after the president signed a law requiring those to be released. So in these files, are we going to learn any new information about Epstein and people that may have been associated with him?
So, yes. So today is the 30 days, where, and I expect that we're going to release several hundred thousand documents today. And those documents will come in all different forms, photographs and other materials associated with all of the investigations into Mr. Epstein. President Trump signed that law 30 days ago, and we have been working tirelessly since that day to make sure that we get every single document that we have within the Department of Justice, review it and get it to the American public. And so what we're doing is we are looking at every single piece of paper that we are going to produce, making sure that every victim, their name, their identity, their story, to the extent it needs to be protected, is completely protected. And so I expect that we're going to release more documents over the next couple of weeks. So today, several hundred thousand. And then over the next couple weeks, I expect several hundred thousand more. There's a lot of eyes looking at these, and we want to make sure that when we do produce the materials we're producing, that we're protecting every single victim.
Oh, that's really considerate of you. However, this is the same lame-ass excuse for not releasing all the Epstein files you've been using since May of 2025. 7 fucking months, you chuckleheads have been saying, we gotta protect the victims. And that's why you haven't released the files. Meanwhile, the Dems over on the Oversight Committee have figured out how to black out names and faces rather quickly, considering the trove of documents, pictures, videos that we've been seeing coming straight from them lately, courtesy of the Epstein estate. So, now the deadline has arrived, and the law says the DOJ has got to give up the goods, so what do we get?
Disappointed!
A busted Epstein Files website that literally no one asked for, with a search bar that conveniently claims the Fanta Fondler's name does not appear anywhere in the files, although we know from the Epstein estate that it does, a lot of times. Thousands of pages that are completely redacted, including that grand jury testimony several judges ordered to be released to the public, as well as when the law clearly states only the victims' names and other identifying information can be blacked out. Everything seems to be blacked out. Oh, and then there's that report from Fox Not a News Channel that revealed the same redaction standards for victims were used to scrub the names and information on, quote, politically exposed individuals and government officials, something the law did not allow the DOJ to do, leaving the entire country calling this lame claim for transparency
a bullshit?
Bullshit.
And I know, you're all wondering who's going to enforce the Epstein Files Transparency Act, prosecute Box Color Bondi, and everyone else who produced this cover-up when the Trump regime and the Republicans control the entire government right now. Well, that's going to depend on how many turd Rikers are voted back into office next year during the midterms. For now, it makes total sense why Tiny Johnson sent the entire Congress home the day before the Epstein Files release, not release, after refusing to allow a vote on extending ACA subsidies before everyone's insurance costs become unaffordable. Or maybe it's that Jack Smith hearing Republicans wanted to keep the public from seeing because, reportedly, Jack Smith could have put the Big Lebowski in federal prison for trying to steal the 2020 presidential election and marching his followers to destroy the Capitol when he couldn't.
Here in Washington, former special counsel Jack Smith is testifying behind closed doors to a GOP-led committee investigating his investigation of Donald Trump during his time out of power.
In the closed-door hearing, Smith defended his prosecutorial decisions. He said his team found, quote, proof beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump had engaged in a criminal scheme to overturn the election.
So Jack Smith just told the Congressional Committee that his team had proof beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump engaged in a criminal scheme to overturn the 2020 election.
I emphasize that he had a very solid case against Donald Trump and that they could have gotten a conviction in court had this case been allowed to go to trial. But because Donald Trump was elected, this case was dismissed. Under Justice Department precedent, you cannot continue a case against a sitting president. So it wasn't about the merits of the case so much as it was just about the overall Justice Department policy.
I just want to say that Chairman Jordan made an excellent decision in not allowing Jack Smith to testify publicly, because had he done so, it would have been absolutely devastating to the president and all the president's men involved in the insurrectionary activities of January the 6th.
And that, my dearies, is why Republicans refused a public hearing of Jack Smith's testimony to Congress. Because we'd all know the seditious facts behind how the lumbering lardass nearly destroyed our democracy. Twice. Once by trying to rig the election results with fake electors and pressuring state officials and secretaries of state to lie about their vote counts. You know, because he didn't have Elon and that knowledge of the vote counting computers that he had this time. And secondly, by having his Gravy SEALs, Meal Team 6, and Fourth Meal Warriors storm the Capitol, smear their shit everywhere, and erect a gallows to hang Mike Pence. Oh, and while we're on the subject of providing cover for Crimes the Clown, turns out Anheuser-Busch at the Department of Incels will not be releasing the second boat strike video. And that's because he doesn't have to, when his boss is already telling the press why he's attacking Venezuela in the first place. Oh, and spoiler alert, it's not about drugs.
President Trump just announced that he ordered a complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers going in and out of Venezuela. He also called on Venezuela to return, quote, all the oil, land, and other assets previously stolen from us.
What's been going on is there's been kind of a black market for oil amongst sort of this sanctioned countries. And what we're doing is we're shutting that black market down.
You remember they took all of our energy rights. They took all of our oil from not that long ago, and we want it back, but they took it. They illegally took it. Getting land, oil rights, whatever we had, they took it away. They took our oil rights. We had a lot of oil there. As you know, they threw our companies out, and we want it back.
Okay, so Grandpa Tangerine appears to have reached a new level of sundowning with this whole, the United States had land and oil located in Venezuela. And that would be disturbing all on its own, because he's running this country. But for those of you in the back, what Sponge Don Droopy Pants is complaining about is the past. See, in the long ago time of the 1920s, the American company called Standard Oil, who later became ExxonMobil, started drilling primarily in Venezuela, producing and selling their oil globally in exchange for tax revenue and royalties on oil sales. This partnership went on for decades, prompting Exxon to invest billions in Venezuelan crude oil, resulting in contracts that gave them significant control over Venezuelan oil sales and profits.
Jumping juniper! I'm rich! I'm rich!
That is until 1998, when Hugo Chavez gets democratically elected to preside over Venezuela, but quickly goes full authoritarian, which totally sucks for the people, but also meant trouble for Exxon's continued profits off of Venezuelan oil. Chavez told Exxon and the other oil companies using his oil to make money that he was changing the terms of their contracts, making Venezuela the controlling stakeholder, and the corporations like Exxon would have to deal with making less money off of someone else's property. This change was agreed by every oil company except for Exxon, who told Chavez to get bent because their contracts were still good at the time and they would continue doing business as usual. Thank you very much.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Needless to say, that pissed Chavez all the way off, who seized all of Exxon's oil fields, equipment, and whatever else he could get his grubby little hands on, and kicked Exxon out of his country in 2007. An exile that has continued under the current president of Venezuela, Maduro, who is keeping control over the $17.5 billion profits from their oil instead of letting companies like Exxon take the majority of that money. Now, 18 years later, Exxon must have seen an opportunity to get their grubby hands on Venezuelan oil, because enter Maria Corina Machado, who recently won that Nobel Peace Prize Schindler wanted oh so badly, and just so happens to be the former deputy of the National Assembly of Venezuela, and would really like to be the next president of that country. The same Machado who tweeted on October 10th of this year, after winning the Nobel Prize, that she is counting on Eric's dad to achieve freedom and democracy in Venezuela. And such an odd thing to say at this particular moment in time when General Fatten is calling for a regime change, I mean, liberation of her people. Now, I don't know for a fact that Machado would be crowned president of Venezuela in exchange for giving Exxon back control over her country's oil after Maduro was forcibly removing them and exiling them from the country. I just know it kind of looks that way to me.
You stupid bitch!
And in keeping with the stupid bitch theme, Susie Wiles isn't just the first woman to be any president's chief of staff. She's also probably the last, after her interview with Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair released a stunning new interview, a series of interviews, with Susie Wiles, President Trump's chief of staff.
Around 11 interviews with Wiles by author Chris Whipple between January and November. And in this article, she appears, Susie Wiles, surprisingly candid.
Susie Wiles offered a stunning assessment of the central characters in the White House, starting with her boss, saying President Trump has an alcoholic's personality.
She says that that type of personality is exaggerated and that the president operates with a view that there's nothing he cannot do.
Wiles tells Vanity Fair the president is named in the Epstein files, but denies he's, quote, in the file doing anything awful, and said he's on the manifest of Epstein's plane, telling the magazine they were, you know, sort of young, single, whatever, sort of young single playboys together. She also says the Epstein files do not have any incriminating evidence of former President Bill Clinton, saying there's no evidence and the president was wrong about that.
Also said that Attorney General Pam Bondi.
I think she completely whiffed on appreciating that that was the very targeted group that cared about this, Weil said of Bondi. First, she gave them binders full of nothingness, talking about influencers online. And then she said that the witness list or the client list was on her desk. There is no client list, and it sure as hell wasn't on her desk.
On Elon Musk, she called him an avowed ketamine user, quote, an odd duck. Wiles also talked about Vice President J.D. Vance and said that she suggested that his shift from someone who was anti-Trump to a Trump supporter was sort of, quote, political. And she also said that he's been a conspiracy theorist for about a decade.
On Venezuela, Wiles suggests to Vanity Fair the attacks on boats at sea is ultimately about regime change, not drug smuggling. She tells Vanity Fair Trump, quote, wants to keep on blowing boats up until Maduro cries uncle.
Some stunning new admissions from White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, including acknowledging that President Trump is score settling with recent prosecutions of his political enemies.
Damn, Susie, we just asked you to spill some tea and you decided to dump the entire pot, but girl, we are glad you did. Calling your projecting, excuse-making, lie-repeating boss's personality alcoholic. Affirming Mascara Vance will be whatever his donors want him to be. Pointing out the fact that D-Average Bondi completely fucked up the Epstein files. Oh, and Kankles McDonald, definitely in them. But the way you describe it is more like two besties keeping a record of their Playboy adventures. Whatever in the covering up for pedophiles that fucking means. Oh, and let's not forget that little bit about attacking Venezuela until Maduro cries uncle. Or until maybe Exxon gets control over that country's oil again. You know, whichever comes first. Oh, and for shits and giggles, every bit of that 11 interviews that Susie did with Vanity Fair was on the record, folks. More importantly, it was on tape.
Susie Wiles in 11 interviews over 11 months.
That's how many there were, 11 interviews over 11 months.
11 in-depth interviews in which she was on the record. Everything in the article was on the record.
Were you recording every interview?
I recorded every interview.
Even ones that were on the phone, there was one where she was doing laundry, apparently.
Yeah, everything is on tape. They're not contesting any of the substance of the piece because they know it's true.
Is that because you recorded the interviews?
And every interview was recorded. Everything is on tape. And so they know that they just can't go there.
Look, all I'm going to say is KK Caroline should have known that taking an uncomfortably close pick wasn't a good idea since she had just had lip injection done a couple of days before. Just saying. And not for nothing, but it's a bit confusing why she'd be railing against gender-affirming care when she clearly partakes in it. But then again, who can understand the decision-making thought process behind the obviously thoughtless walnut-sized mind of a maggot? I mean, certainly not anyone who tuned into the season finale of Survivor only to be accosted by the image of the orange dictator Tot holding onto a podium for dear life and yelling into a microphone like his hearing aid batteries died and he forgot he's the only one in the room who can't fucking hear a thing. For example, here's Yelvis reminding us that Joe Biden lives rent-free in his head and Democrats are responsible for every shitty thing he's done since January.
This is what the Biden administration allowed to happen. Do you remember when Joe Biden, under the Biden administration, compared to the Biden last year, under Biden, 30 to 100% under Biden, the worst thing that the Biden administration did, we had the worst trade deals ever made, and our country was laughed at from all over the world. But they're not laughing anymore. The colossal border invasion. We have never been invaded. This is the worst thing that, frankly, in my opinion, the worst thing that the Biden administration did to our country is the invasion at the border. Illegal aliens stole American jobs and flooded emergency rooms, getting free health care and education paid for by you, the American taxpayer. They also increased the cost of law enforcement by numbers so high that they are not even to be mentioned. Now, in the steep increase in premiums being demanded by the Democrats, and they are demanding those increases, and it's their fault. It is not the Republicans' fault. It's the Democrats' fault. 1 year ago, our country was dead. We were absolutely dead. Our country was ready to fail, totally failed. Now, we're the hottest country anywhere in the world.
Whoa there. Seriously, folks, who is regulating that guy's Adderall consumption? Because he sounds like he's going to pop. Screaming while standing in front of a microphone like that somehow is going to make his geriatric version of reality more real. When obviously, any fact checker can see this interruption of previously scheduled programming was nothing more than the desperate cries of an elderly man who was never qualified for any position he has ever held.
The president said inflation has stopped. It's not stopped. It's 3%. In fact, September, that 3% rate was the fifth consecutive month inflation had increased. The president also said that he inherited the worst inflation, he said some might say, in the history of the country. Again, he inherited 3% inflation in January. He spoke of cutting prescription drug prices by 400 to 600%. Those figures are mathematically impossible. He said the price of eggs has fallen, which is true, but then he said everything else is falling rapidly. Everything else is not falling rapidly. In fact, even on groceries in particular, far more products have increased in price this term than have decreased. He said again, he secured $18 trillion in investment this year. That number is total fiction. He spoke of some states hitting $1.99 for gas. The lowest state average today is closer to $2.40. About 100 stations out of about 150,000 stations are below $2. President Trump has not settled 8 wars. That list includes various wars, various situations that were not even wars, and some conflicts that have not actually been resolved. I could go on. I don't have time.
And if we're being honest, ain't nobody got time to fact check this lying sack of moldy oranges every single time he speaks, because everything he says is a fucking lie. Like this one.
Because of tariffs, along with the just passed One Big Beautiful Bill, tonight I am also proud to announce that more than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call Warrior Dividend before Christmas, a Warrior Dividend in honor of our nation's founding in 1776. We are sending every soldier $1,776. Think of that. And the checks are already on the way. Nobody understood that one until about 30 minutes ago. We made a lot more money than anybody thought because of tariffs, and the bill helped us along. Nobody deserves it more than our military, and I say congratulations to everybody. And by the way, we now have record enlistment in our military, and last year we had among the worst recruitment numbers in our military's history. What a difference a year makes.
Oh, well, it's good to know there isn't a shortage of lemmings in the United States, because this whole warrior dividend talk is clearly a scam in plain sight. And that would be bad news for nepotism Napoleon, who has seen the lowest recruitment standards ever implemented by the most inebriated asshole to ever head our armed forces, allowing for a record level of recruitment. So I guess all that talk about physical fitness being a priority for the Pentagon clearly went out the window once you realized the average waistline of your typical swallower isn't what you thought it was. But that isn't even the most offensive part of what old man garblings we witnessed. What with the whole part about the $1,776 in what the tiny-handed grifter calls warrior dividends, taken from tariff earnings and given to our service members. Oh, but that is some old bullshit. And here's the only smart person who appears on Fox, not a news channel, Miss Jessica Tavlov, to explain.
Okay, so Defense One, I think, was the first to report it. This reporter, Thomas Novelli, I don't know. President Donald Trump's 1776 checks for more than a million troops announced Wednesday comes from congressionally allocated reconciliation funds intended to subsidize housing allowances for service members, a senior administration official confirmed.
So it's not from tariffs? Well, that kind of sucks.
So we're not taking the
you're
money.
You're taking the money from their housing and you're giving
oh,
it
so
to
we're
them.
Stealing the money from troops and then giving it back to troops.
Let's just say that if you're
that's
going you're to do
it's not a bonus. It's money they were already getting.
Because the grift is next level. It is a fact that Congress already allocated the funding now being called a warrior dividend to military service members for reimbursement for housing costs. That is taxpayer money, not tariff earnings. And the only reason why the Duke of Dysentery wants you to think tariffs are paying for this is because the supreme disaster is currently considering whether or not Donnie Dunscap's tariffs are legal at all. In which case, he would have to return all that sweet, sweet tariff money to the corporations and American citizens who have paid them thus far, a fact that may become a problem should the bogus SCOTUS decide Placido Domingo tariffed everyone illegally, because I personally think a large part of that money is probably sitting in a bank owned by a Trump Organization subsidiary run by Coke Jr., Eric, or El Crappy Tan's favorite daughter that he'd love to fuck.
Shut your hole!
And if all of that wasn't enough of a distraction from the fact that this regime is serious about protecting pedophiles, unless they're Democrats, Fad Nixon announced this coming to America in 2026.
In the fall, we will host the first ever Patriot Games, an unprecedented four-day athletic event featuring the greatest high school athletes, one young man and one young woman from each state and territory.
Which makes me wonder, where in the world is Suzanne Collins, author of the Hunger Games series, lawyer? Because this announcement was totally giving.
Welcome, welcome. The time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me or the show on lots of social media platforms across the interwebs. And we are always available for your listening pleasure wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.
Happy Christmas. It's Christmas. Merry Chrysler. Merry Chrysler.
After these messages.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.